listening to The Cooler Ring, a podcast made for manufacturing marketers. Here are Carmen Perry and Jeff White.
Welcome to The Cooler Ring, a podcast for manufacturing marketers brought to you by Cooler Partners. My name is Jeff White, and joining me today is Carmen Perry. Carmen, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well and happy to be here. Happy to be here and excited for today's conversation.
Yeah, I mean, the notion of value selling is something that I find incredibly interesting, and there's always something I can learn.
Yeah, and you know what? I hate when I go down this path a little bit, because sometimes it sounds like I'm trying to sow distrust or something between marketing and sales, or that I don't want them to get along, and that's not the case. But I am saying it's kind of interesting to have somebody from the marketing side teaching salespeople about value selling. Don't hear about that one very often.
That's certainly true. I agree with you. So why don't we get into it? So today we're welcoming Neelam Kumar, the Corporate Director of Marketing at Meridian Adhesives. Welcome to The Cooler Ring, Neelam.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. This topic is very close to my heart, so I'm looking forward to chatting about value selling.
Not only, as Carmen mentioned, you know, a person in marketing teaching salespeople how to do value selling, but an engineer in marketing teaching salespeople how to do value selling. Tell us about your backstory.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I have a chemical engineering degree, but I left that engineering discipline long time ago, and I decided to move to what they call the dark side. So here I am. That being said, I've always, you know, during my professional journey, I've always kept that engineering mindset and selectively picked opportunity that would allow me to stay true to my engineer, the nerd in me.
And Meridian Adhesives, tell us a bit about the company, if you would.
Yeah, so Meridian Adhesives is a global solution provider of adhesive technologies. We sell adhesive technologies in variety of industries, all the way starting from electronics, semiconductors, to medical devices, aerospace and defense, to building and construction, flooring adhesives, infrastructure adhesives that are used in building of roads and bridges, to assembly and packaging materials. So a very broad range of technologies that go into hundreds of different markets and applications. So that's Meridian, and great company, great product selection.
I'm curious, and when you think of the, you know, that many verticals, do you have a number of salespeople selling across multiple verticals, or do they tend to have a specialty area?
No, typically our sales team is aligned by industry verticals because, you know, given the nature of our products and markets, we need that special connection with customers and industry, and competitors are different for each one of those sectors. So that lends itself to that kind of structure.
Yeah, I would have guessed that, but that also would have guessed that that's going to make your job teaching value selling and promoting value selling in the organization even more difficult.
Hey, I'm learning just as much as I'm teaching.
I wonder, though, is it more difficult than selling in geographic regions, which an awful lot of organizations, manufacturing especially, kind of break down into, as opposed to selling into industry verticals?
So we have a mix of both. You know, even within the verticals, our sales teams are organized for most part geographically. So we have that. Too.
Yeah, Jeff, I mean, my thinking was is that salespeople, say, in life sciences might be a very different breed than in, say, another vertical, whereas there was a possibility in my mind when I asked the question that you had people selling across multiple verticals, so maybe the salespeople were a bit more, for lack of a better term, more homogenous. So, anyway, nevertheless, that's where I was trying to pry, but... Neelam, how did you? I want to learn about how you're going about kind of evangelizing, if you will, value selling in the organization, and the path that takes. But before we get into that, how did you get interested in it in the first place?
So, you know, along my career, I have found a lot of good mentors and coaches and champions. And along came a coach that taught me the value of value selling. And eventually that put me on the path to being a coach of value selling to the sales team, to other people in the marketing department, and just general people that I come across. You know, through my network. And this has just become a topic that I am very passionate about, you know, particularly coming from manufacturing sector, industrial sector. We often think of value in terms of benefits, and that's where we stop, right? We talk about materials, here's the features of the material, and then here's the benefits of the material. And more often than not, you will see even the most experienced marketeers will stop right there. You know, you put together your data sheets or features or benefits and you pass it down to your sales team. What we often, particularly in the world of advanced materials, we often forget to dig deeper is the value, right? You go one step beyond the benefit of the product to the value of your offer. And that's what I am interested in when I talk to my sales team or learn about their customers is take it another step deeper, maybe three steps deeper to fully comprehend that value.
If you're talking to the sales team and you're asking them to go deeper, you know, two, three levels deep into that organization, what do you mean? Like, are we talking about the fact that value means something different to the CEO than it does to a plant floor operator? Or are we going to that level? Or where are you going with that?
So it's both. It's horizontal, as in understanding what that value means for the application in which the customer is deploying our product, right? So that value could be, for instance, in a process industry or manufacturing sector, that could be a restorative value. So our product might be helping the customer resolve a chronic problem. So that's the value, you know, what's the dollar associated with that? The problem that they're solving, how is it helping them add to their bottom line, right? They're saving something somewhere. It could be preventative. It might be preventing the customer from having a competitive disadvantage. So what is the customer able to gain out of that prevention, right? That value could be opportunistic. What opportunities does it offer? Is the customer able to now go after new markets? Is the customer able to increase their price because of the value that your product has added to either their products or their processes, right? So that's the understanding of the actual dollar amount as in value. And then the second side of it is how do you communicate and articulate that value? For that, you have to know your audience, right? So if you are within your customer's organization, who are you reaching out to? Who's your network, your high, wide, and deep network? Are you talking to the buyers? Are you talking to the supply chain people, the R&D people? You have to know what drives them, and then you have to find the language that connects with them. So if you have an R&D person, you know that the velocity of their new product or pipeline is what drives them, right? So you have to articulate the benefit of your product in that context. Or if you're talking to someone from supply chain, you know, the working capital drives them. So are you able to articulate the value of your product in that context? So that's extremely important to understand your audience and then the language that they speak.
I want to pry a little bit on this, because one component to implementation of value selling, I think at its most, you'll correct me, I'm not sure, but I think it's somewhat at its most advanced implementations, you find that it's coupled with value pricing. So the price is not the same for customer X as it is for customer Y. The price is changed due to the value being delivered in that particular application.
Absolutely.
Do you coach to get to that level in your work on value selling, or are we still operating from more of a, you know, standardized pricing sheets and whatnot, and this is a way of positioning your value?
No. So if you are not able to get to that capture of the value, then what's the point of this exercise, right? So typically, when we talk about value selling or the selling value approach, there's 5 C's. You comprehend the process through analysis of your target customer's activity cycle or their business. And then you create the process step that involve using your product to a certain advantage. And then you communicate the differentiated offering of your value. So you comprehend, create, communicate, and then you create your messaging to convince that, yep, there's a value. Your sales team are fully educated on that toolkit to be able to constantly deploy that to convince their target customers. And then last, but most important, is capture, right? So through that exercise, to answer your question, capture is the last and final step, is when we can capture the value in our, as sellers, in our product sale price. So that comes through, as you rightfully pointed, the analysis of economic value, EV calculation, right? So there's a dollar price that the customer might see as a cost of material that they buy from us. But eventually, it's the economic value of the offer, not just the cost of the product. And that's what we get to. Typically, you would do that by looking at the benchmark value of the next best alternative, right? It could be a competitor's product or a material. That's your benchmark price. And then you look at your differentiated offer and you look at what are the positive differentiations you are offering, dollar associated with that, that you would have hopefully captured through your, value-based questioning, as well as if there are any points of, negative offer in your solution. So you look at all those three and that helps you calculate what is the economic value of your offer. And that's what helps you price based on value, not just on cost.
And I'm sticking with you here. I'm curious about the weight of marketing versus sales in this exchange. Like, how much of that distillation of economic value in a specific application is, maybe application specific, and therefore it applies to a number of accounts, and marketing is creating messaging around that, versus value that is very account specific, one to one, and maybe weighs a bit more on sales to communicate that value. Any guidance or commentary on the balance between those two?
Absolutely. So clearly, given the ratio of sales versus marketing people in any organization, you will always have marketing resources very tight, right? That being said, it's also a fact that in this day and age, by the time your customers get to you, they have already made up their mind in some way, shape, or form, right? I think there's a statistics out there and they say they have made up 70% of their mind along the decision-making process, right? So that communication of the value starts way before your salespeople are even talking to your potential customers. So there, marketing, the value of marketing, not just understanding that offer, but also start building those tools, whether you deploy them on, general distribution channels, or whether you save those tools to be deployed by your sales team. That lies with marketing. That starts with understanding of your capabilities, your differentiation, and your benefits and values. And then understanding of your next best alternatives, understanding of the activity cycles, and eventually helping your sales team proactively prepare for to handle objections, right? To anticipate what your customers might think or might proceed with, might want to know, and to task your sales team, irrespective of it, if it's a singular customer opportunity or a market-wide opportunity, to anticipate potential objections or bottlenecks and prepare your sales team in advance to them dealing with those customers. That all becomes part of the toolkit, especially in this day and age, even before your customer reaches to your sales team.
Neil, I'm wondering, you've deployed this process and landed a new customer, and then you're looking to expand the account. Does this take on a different form when you're looking within existing accounts to grow the share of wallet that you have there? Like, how are you approaching that in a different way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you have probably heard me talk about activity cycle. So when you are an outsider, right, a process industry, a manufacturing industry, industrial organizations in their processes, each step of the process is a combination of 5, 10, 15, 20 different activities that lead to that last step. And understanding of that whole cycle is extremely important to fully understand where are the pains that can be eliminated in that cycle, what can be, raised, what can be reduced, and how your products or services can play a role there. That's extremely important in raising your share of wallet. For example, you might be selling into an activity cycle where disposing of a stream of waste material is a challenge. And unless you have fully comprehended that activity cycle, you just don't know that, right? And imagine if that's a pain point for your customer, and through your offer, you can bring them a solution to somehow either recycle it or build that waste cycle in a different process stream and reducing that pain of the customer. So always in those engagements, thinking through what can be raised, reduced, eliminated, made better, that will not just bring, build the trust between the customer and the salespeople, but also integrate our offer with the customer's pain points.
And I would assume that, based upon if they're an existing customer, your knowledge of them will be deeper. Your ability to find those pain points will be greater. Your ability to articulate the value you're delivering becomes even greater.
That is always the hope.
that was kind of what I was driving at. Like, does it always work out?
Yes. That's always the hope. Oftentimes we think we do, but oftentimes you are always very surprised at how much we don't know. And that's why, I always insist on high, wide, and deep relationship management, because what you would learn from someone who's sitting in an office is vastly different from what you would learn from, an operator who's running that machine day in, day out, or handling your material day in, day out in the warehouse. So yeah, there's always more to be learned.
Neelam, I'd like to know, it seems to me that part of this is getting to, instilling in the marketing and sales organization even the language of value. How do you speak about value? And some of that is, you may be talking to customers about value in ways that they're not used to experiencing. Maybe the other people that sell to them don't talk about value in that way, and don't drive the conversation to that. Maybe I will stop there. So have you encountered that component of it where the salespeople are like, it's not just that we're not used to having these conversations, our customers aren't used to having these conversations.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that often could become a challenge, right? Especially when you're talking about companies that I have been part of throughout my career, right? Organizations that have grown through acquisition, right? Organizations that have brought people from different markets, different industries, different mindsets, different geographies, different companies together as part of one team. And now you're talking about how do we harmonize the way we talk about our sales process, our marketing process, and having that harmonizing language so we are all understanding what we speak internally is extremely important. And of course, it's important to converse it externally, but it's even more important internally when we talk about, you know, how do you talk about your sales cycle? How do you talk about your opportunity funnel? What are your 7 stages of the funnel? How do you define them? What are your strategies at each of those funnel of the process? You know, how do you talk about your gap discoveries? So that's definitely, I see it as a bigger challenge internally, because your customer set is always going to be diverse. They are always going to be speaking their own language. But within the organization, having that harmonization is extremely important, so we can learn from each other, teach each other, and, you know, be on the same page, really.
I'm not going to let you away that easy with that, though, because I just feel like on the customer side, I appreciate what you said, though. They're all speaking a kind of a different language anyway, and there's a diversity there that you're having to navigate. So you're going to have to navigate it regardless. And so that makes total sense to me. I'm imagining the sales process where you've actually had a nice value conversation. You've gotten to that place with the person you're selling to. And you're kind of at that 11th hour of the sales process. And now procurement's involved.
Mm-hmm.
And procurement doesn't even know the letter V exists in the alphabet, let alone the term value. Like, it's about price. Like, what's the cost of this versus the competitor? Don't tell me about the fancy promises that you're making, Mr. or Mrs. Salesperson. What do we do then? How do we get procurement to speak the language of value?
So that's great, because the good news is that there is not one language of value. Language of value changes with the target audience, right? And I think we touched on that a little bit. If you are speaking the language, right, there's so many ways you are creating value to your customer. And really, your customer, it's best if they don't feel that you're trying to sell them something other than your product, because you are selling them insight into the market. You are selling them your product development excellence. You are selling them, it could be, you know, regulatory support. You are selling them risk mitigation. You are selling them your service capabilities. You are selling them your global supply chain excellence. So as long as your sales language is matching the language of your target audience, it will hit.
Even if they're saying, but yeah, but everybody else will do it for X number of dollars per gallon, how come yours is so much more expensive?
And that's where the work that you would have done in thinking through the potential scenarios, thinking through the, you know, potential objections, and giving your sales team the tools to handle those objections in, you know, what you've learned about the customer application, the value cycle, right? You could have advantages in other ways. You could have advantages in your speed, in your agility. You could have advantages in the way you pack your product that your competitors don't. You could have advantage in the fact that you could tweak the formulation for your customer that your competitors may not. So that's why, you know, having that full breadth of discussion in your value proposition, not just your product, but the value versus competition, versus market conditions, versus, you know, the freight and logistics, versus their location and your location advantage. There's hundreds of different things that could be weaved into that value conversation.
That is such a wonderful encapsulation of how to deal with those objections with actual value that matters to those particular organizations. It's just the examples are so numerous, and I really think that really encapsulates it for me.
These days, customers are forcing almost their suppliers into commodity chains by very aggressively, you can say, denying the uniqueness in their supplier base. So if supplier cannot escape those commodity chains, they are forced into, you know, competing purely on price. And then suppliers find themselves powerless. So value-based selling, you know, help suppliers get out of that mindset. As suppliers, first, we have to get out of that mindset. Only then we can help our customers look at us differently.
It's that mindset that I want to pick on a little bit. Have you ever found that encouraging the organization you're working for to become a better buyer of value helps them become a better value seller?
You could not have said it any better.
Okay.
So, you know, value selling, before you actually start value selling, you just need to value sell the value to your internal teams.
But I'm thinking about, like, you know, every manufacturer out there that's looking to maybe implement value selling because they want to get good margins, they also have a procurement team that's trying to push their suppliers into a commodity position. And I think one of the ways you can look at that and say, you know what, that's procurement's job and we're going to let them get really good at that, and marketing and sales over here is going to be talking value. I kind of like the idea, maybe it's just the contrarian in me, this notion of maybe like the change starts within, in terms of changing your own procurement team to be to have a nose for value versus just a nose for price.
And that's absolutely right, because and you know, even as a marketer, when we talk about value selling, we're not talking about being untrue, right, or being fluffy in your value propositions. We are really talking about digging deeper, understanding better, not just your own products, but what the customer does with your product, what's their cycle, what's their economies, what their economies are, and be authentic, right? It's okay if your product doesn't do the job, go refer them to competition. You will only build trust by doing that, right? So next time they need something, they'll come to you knowing that you are there to help them, not necessarily to make the sale. So yeah, even in the quest of value selling, we still have to be true and authentic, but we have to do our homework. We have to still try hard to find that value.
And it really can't exist on false pretenses.
Absolutely.
We draw our time together to a close. I'm wondering if you would think about your work in instilling a value selling mindset in manufacturing industrial enterprise. If you had to pick the single biggest challenge that somebody doing this will encounter, I wonder what it is and how you would recommend they overcome it.
Yeah, so I mean, in my experience, you know, internally, I have seen the challenge being to, you know, internally evangelizing the approach, especially when you are dealing with sales teams that are very mature, sales teams that are set in their ways, and sales teams that very heavily rely on relationships. And that kind of blindsides you from, you know, looking outside of that relationship and looking at your customer as a company that is there to benefit their shareholders. That's the, you know, that's the end goal of a company. Relationships are all good, but any corporation's end goal, for better or for worse, is to increase their shareholders' value, and oftentimes get blindsided by relationships. So if we can help, the biggest challenge, going back to your question, is to help our teams look beyond just relationship and think about how our product adds value to their shareholders.
Yeah. I think that really resonates with me, and I've really enjoyed this. Thanks so much.
I have too, and I appreciate this opportunity to talk about this topic. Thank you for all the good questions.
Thank you, Neela.
Thank you both.
Thanks for listening to The Cooler Ring with Carmen Perry and Jeff White. Don't miss a single manufacturing marketing insight. Subscribe now at KulaPartners.com/The Cooler Ring. That's KULA Partners.com/The Cooler Ring.